WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre refusing to confirm the possibility that the Biden administration could go back to the Trump-era policy of detaining migrant families, also not ruling it out.
I'm not saying it's being considered. I'm not saying any. But I'm not saying it is, and I'm not saying it is not.
Hispanic Congressional Caucus Chairman Senator Bob Menendez calls the lack of communication on immigration policy insulting. Michelle Williams says she got to briefly speak with her husband Eric once he got to Texas after he was kidnapped in Mexico with three other Americans.
We really didn't speak on a lot of things or what he went through because my son was there.
Two Americans rescued, two others were killed. Voters in Oklahoma have voted down a recreational marijuana plan, according to the Associated Press. They've recovered a second body in a Florida lake near where two small planes collided midair. Texas executing an inmate convicted of stabbing his estranged wife to death and drowning her six-year-old daughter nearly 14 years ago. This is ABC News. The parents of Michigan school shooter Ethan Crumbly have appeared in court.
Attorneys for James and Jennifer Crumbly asked the Michigan Court of Appeals to dismiss four charges of involuntary manslaughter over the 2021 school shooting in Oxford, saying their son's actions were his own. Shannon Smith represents Jennifer Crumbly and told the court this is not a case that involves a child unintentionally shooting a gun.
We're talking about a 16-year-old who wrote elaborate and deliberate plans in a journal that he only knew about.
Prosecutors maintain the couple's actions were grossly negligent. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Federal authorities adding 25 Border Patrol agents at a section of the northeastern U.S. border with Quebec. That's in response to a spike in illegal crossings there. Nobel laureate Toni Morrison, now forever immortalized on a stamp. The Forever Stamp, featuring the beloved writer, unveiled at Princeton University, where Morrison taught for almost two decades. Andy Field, ABC News.
Hear that? If you own a business, that's a problem. What you really need is this. If you want to make your phone ring this spring, we have just the thing.
Sponsor weather forecasts on your local Civic Media station.
We've slashed prices on our premium weather sponsorships up to 50%. Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results. But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th.
Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
As a staffer who's aware of the media, you maybe wouldn't serve your state senator up on a platter.
Scobity boom boom. Scobity dog.
What? Oh, ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy Tuesday, March 7th. I am Kristen Bry here with Jane Matinair to kick off a very beautiful day.
It is. It's a lovely day.
I didn't realize how much I needed the sun. It feels like it's been a while since we had... What is it? It's like almost 40 and actual sun shining.
It makes an enormous amount of difference.
And no wind, seemingly.
No, it's windy. Is it? It's a little, the wind
is. I got out of the car. I was like, I could maybe go for a long walk later.
A walk is doable.
I try to do a long walk. I'm trying to do more walks. How are your walks going?
Yeah, but not good.
Okay. Yeah. Same. I just recharged my iWatch and I set the goal of trying to hit 400 active calories. For context, when I was getting ready for my wedding, it was at 800.
Oh my gosh.
So if I can hit four,
that would be good.
Whew, but yeah, it's been a slow winter in the gym. But maybe now that it's nice out, we'll actually get outside and get some exercise. All right. Well, coming up today, we actually have a lot of guests today, which is really exciting. So in the noon hour, so starting off at 12 o'clock, we are going to be talking to Chelsea Chandler and Paul Mathewson, who are both from Clean Wisconsin, on a new report that they put out January. That's still new.
Yeah.
Aptly titled Corn Ethanol versus Solar Land Use Comparison, which is a little very straight to the point. But basically what they found is that if we offset or swapped some of our, we have like a million acres of corn fields in Wisconsin.
Right.
A lot of which goes to ethanol. If we just used even a fraction of that towards solar, it would actually be much more energy efficient. So they're going to come and talk more about that and kind of the differences between ethanol energy and solar energy and how farmers could still make money and yada, 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 all that. And then at 12:30... we're going to be talking to Tanya Atkinson, who is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin, and Dr. Schaefer, who is a urologist at Planned Parenthood. Because we talked about this when they first launched it last month, but now, because of the increasing popularity of the procedure, Planned Parenthood offers vasectomies. And we thought we'd, debunk some misconceptions.
Superstitions.
Some myths. Maybe quell some of your fears for the men out there who are on the fence of whether or not they think this would be for them. And just kind of talk about the things that, all the things that I like talking about that make other people uncomfortable but are like actual anatomy.
Well, it is a body. Yes.
It is.
It is a body.
It is a body. Yeah. And then in this hour, We're going to be joined by Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show. He just wrapped up his show but on the Civic Media Network, but he is going to join us because you, Jane, thought your first reaction to Janet Protasiewicz only agreeing to do one debate was that it's not a good look.
It's a mistake.
And so I think he disagrees with you. So I think we're going to have a discussion as far as what role do debates still play in elections?
I mean, do we actually learn anything new?
Exactly.
Is that's the question?
Well, yeah. And so that's coming up at 11:30. But to start, I was going to talk about this yesterday, and then too many competing stories. But let me start with an anecdote. So my father-in-law lives in Muskego, my father-in-law and mother-in-law, and they love Muskego. He's lived there almost his entire life. And the running joke in our family, that family thread between my husband, Mike, his two sisters, his sister's husband, is whenever anything goes wrong in Milwaukee, my father-in-law goes, you know where that doesn't happen? Muskego.
Okay.
Whether it's crime or reckless driving, right, or even as silly as like snow, when it snows in Milwaukee and it doesn't snow in Muskego. So it's a joke. But I've made it very clear, I have no interest in living in Muskego. I'm sure it's lovely when
it is.
We go there. I am a city girl. I like more dense environments. I also like diversity. Like, very plainly stated, I want my kids to go to diverse schools. I like being around people who are not necessarily like me. I think it's an enriching experience to be able to not, like, I just don't, I think homogeny is
kind of boring.
Inferior to diversity. And then you hear a story like this, and you're like, see? Because over the weekend, Beloit High School boys basketball played at Muskego High School. And quote, for this is that one of the headlines that's been put out since, disturbing racist speech images reported at Muskego High School basketball game. And it doesn't sound good.
No, it's not.
So Muskego Norway Schools and Muskego Police are investigating claims that Muskego High School students organized a racist theme within their student section and drew racial slurs and images into the dust of the visiting team's locker room before a basketball game against Beloit Memorial High School. So Muskego High School was notified of the alleged racism by Beloit Memorial's athletic director after the playoff game on March 3rd. And the Beloit basketball players said that the N-word and swastikas were traced into the dust into the guest team's locker room. And, you know, potentially there is an argument that maybe it was there before they were going to play Beloit. I don't know how they're going to prove that or disprove that. But the thing, because this happened, I feel like this happens once a year at some school where someone makes the decision that it's appropriate to dress in a certain way and go to the game, and then those kids are allowed to go into the game. Because there was, and you can see video of it, there's a whole slew of kids who wore tank tops and ski masks.
Ski masks?
I don't know.
What was the theme?
A thug theme.
Nice.
And there was parents who reported that they also heard racist remarks coming from the student section during the game, including monkey noises. And it's so, and so now there's an investigation. But a reminder that Muskego's minority enrollment is 11%, with less than 1% of students in Muskego's school district. This is the whole district, not even just the high school, that's black. And in Beloit, it's around, the minority is over 60%, with 21% being black. So it's a much more diverse part of the city and the state.
Right.
And what's unfortunate, maybe not surprising, but unfortunate, is that from this incident, this is from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, there's been people going on social media who are people of color who went to Muskego who are saying, yeah, nothing's changed.
It was like this when I was there.
I was bullied. I had racial slurs said to me while I was going to that school, and the administration did nothing.
We have Ann on the line who wants to check in on this. What do you want to say, Ann?
Sure. So thanks for having me on, Kristen.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, Kristen. So I am a Muskego parent, Muskego resident. So I just want to first extend a sincere apology to the entire Beloit community on behalf of people in Muskego, like Kristen, who believe in diversity and inclusivity. So that, I mean, without caveats or explainers, what happened was wrong. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's important, and Kristen I know sees this, that this is a symptom of a larger issue. And in Muskego specifically, a larger systemic culture issue in our district and in our community, which is evident by the fact that this isn't the first time that Kristen and I have talked on mm-hmm. her show. Yeah. So what we're talking about here is a system that still uses discriminatory iconography in their sports programming. We could start there, right? They use a slogan, "Fear the Spear," for crying out loud. I mean, this is not the beacon of inclusivity and diversity here in Muskego. So I just wanted to say we have micro and macro issues, right? Microaggressions and plenty of instances of sort of racial discrimination. But the culture here starts at the top.
Hmm.
So we have a school board that consistently and without fail continues to push discriminatory policies. This is the same school board that blocked the teaching of Julio Tsukas when the emperor was divine. This is the same school board that just passed a so-called pronoun policy requiring parental permission for our trans and non-binary students, and multiple board members who ran on anti-critical race theory platforms. And I think this is the administration that has refused to take a stand against any of this. So importantly, these are the very real consequences of the culture that has been allowed to fester here without meaningful pushback.
And I just want to clarify that that book that you mentioned is about the Japanese internment camps, correct?
Correct. And so that just happened last May. The pronoun policy was just passed in January. And so I think, and I know, the district has a clear legal obligation here to plan for meaningful change if they're aware that there's a pervasive problem.
And oh, go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead.
We only have about a minute, but I just wanted to ask, like, what? Because that was going to be my next question: is what having like an assembly, having like one assembly talking about racism one afternoon isn't going to solve this? And so, where is the conversation as far as depending on what the investigation finds, but if the investigation finds what the videos show,
right,
what happens?
Well, so that's my question. And I talked to the superintendent yesterday, and my questions are, where is the system change going to be? What are our long-term plans, right? Beyond the kinds of consequences for these specific students, how are we going to ensure that this doesn't happen again and that they don't have any answers?
They don't.
No.
Great.
Not at this point, because there is no plan to create systemic change in this community.
Anne, thank you so much for the call. Feel free to call. We're going to keep talking about this on the other side of the break. If you have feelings, thoughts about this, or something similar that's happening in your school district, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Earn, play, and win at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Rewards Club members can earn up to $155 rewards play and $5 to use at Whitetail Crossing or to grab a bite to eat at the Swiftwater Lounge. Guests may start earning points on your Rewards Club card 7 a.m. through 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. till midnight every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Become an off-road warrior with Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Now until March 25th, guests can earn entries for one of the grand prize drawings on February 25th. March 11th and March 25th. All you need to do is earn 25 points to receive $10 rewards play and an entry up to four times a day. One grand prize winner will win a gift certificate to Power Pack Sports and Equipment in Marshfield for a Polaris ATV or UTV, with six consolation winners being drawn to win a scooter cooler or up to $500 cash. For complete contest rules and to see the rides in person, visit the Rewards Club booth. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor. Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $150 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We are taking any thoughts you might have or reflections you have on your own community, because I don't think this is
particular to Muskego.
I don't think it's particular. This instance of what happened over the weekend at this basketball game obviously is unique. But I feel like once a year there's one of these stories where students think it's a good idea to dress a certain way or chant a certain thing. And
show up for high school graduation photos.
Yes. And then there is a conversation around what the ramifications should be. But as Ann said in the previous, when she, the caller who lives in Muskego, who's a parent there, is that that's a Band-Aid and reactionary. And this is why diversity and inclusion is important to teach in schools. And we're not talking about CRT as an academic level. We're talking about what it's to actually teach empathy and understanding instead of banning books on Japanese internment camps. Like, what is the pressing priority here? You said we had a text?
We do.
Okay.
844-967-2789. Anytime you want to share a comment or give us a call. This from the 262, because we had mentioned that a lot of the students in the student section at this game were wearing sleeveless t-shirts, which we used to call wife beaters, and ski masks. And the texter from the 262 says ski masks are a Proud Boys thing.
No, really?
I did not know that.
I have to say, I don't know a ton about the Proud Boys. Not done a lot of research into what their symbolism and typical attire tends to be. But I just, even if it's as simple as shaming people into this, is like, because it's one thing to really get to the core of someone's belief system, to get them to understand you can't act like this, you can't make monkey noises at black athletes. It's another thing to, at least, even if they want to do it, shame them so much that they don't.
And I think there is a large segment of our population who no longer feels any shame.
I know.
It just doesn't, instead of being shamed, it is accepted now as a badge of honor.
Yeah. And the idea, well, and we didn't, because Ann had called, but this was some of the, as far as this being not necessarily an isolated incident, and it going higher than just some kids. And it makes me think of when we go back to what happened in Keele, Wisconsin last year, that the initial story that was released and peddled around to right-wing media was, oh, these eighth grade boys used the wrong pronoun and now there's a Title IX investigation, when in fact, the kid had been bullied and thrown food had been thrown at him and they had pushed them around, and that part of the story didn't happen, and the administration hadn't done anything. And then you dug a little bit deeper, and the year prior to that, a black student had been harassed so much that he felt not welcome in his own high school. And so going back to Muskego, this was from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There was one quote of someone who posted on social media. Since I was a student from 2013 to 2017, the administration has never given an F about the minority students, and clearly nothing has changed. You'd think by 2023 they'd educate their students rather than feed into the BS. Then a different former student wrote, nothing was done when I was being continuously harassed and called racial slurs in the hallways to class every morning, says a 2016 MHS graduate who asked to remain anonymous. And so it's like, this is the issue you need to be talking about at your school board meetings. Not pronouns, not banning books.
Right.
Because those are problems in search of a solutions in search of a problem versus an obvious problem that is sitting right in front of you right now. And yet, apparently, anecdotally, from one parent trying to talk to the superintendent, no plan. No plan to deal with it. No plan to address it. Just a statement, a blanket statement released. They're looking into it. And the news cycle will move on. And then what? It's... And this is what we're talking about, right?
We have Dave on the line from the Shaw who wants to check in on this. Dave, what do you want to say?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to share. I grew up in a place just like, kind of like what the last caller was talking about in Muskego. So I grew up in Kentucky in a very homogenous, kind of that middle class to upper class neighborhood. And I think it was really easy, looking in retrospect, to see, like, it's easy to fall into the trap of racism and not know. It's almost like an ignorance, right? The fact that I didn't know it was racism at the time. And once I left Kentucky and I went and saw the world a bit and lived in Baltimore and the inner city there and befriended people who didn't look like me or talk like me or act like me, like, it wasn't until that point that I realized, like, the harm that maybe my actions had caused. And so it's really tough for cultural change. And I empathize with the parents, like the last caller, who are trying to make a difference in the world and hold especially elected leaders accountable.
Absolutely. That's really interesting perspective, Dave. Thanks so much for calling. Because I think... And I think that's part, I mean, this is why I go back to, if you don't have integrated schools, if you don't actually have diversity because of the nature of how people, where people live and how schools and districts and it, overall, Wisconsin's very like predominantly white outside of certain pockets. But this is why having diversity and inclusion classes, teaching accurate history is that much more important. So even for the kids who don't necessarily leave their hometown like Dave did and have other experiences and get exposed to different types of people, still have a chance to not just live in their bubble and kind of just be ignorant to, this is okay. Groupthink, this is fine. How's that for a ticked off tee off?
That was a good start.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about candidate debates, whether they're moot at this point. Todd Alba will be here. Come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, Fox Valley, if you've got a favorite supper club, we're your station, Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre refusing to confirm the possibility that the Biden administration could go back to the Trump-era policy of detaining migrant families, also not ruling it out.
I'm not saying it's being considered. I'm not saying any, but I'm not saying it is, and I'm not saying it is not.
Hispanic Congressional Caucus Chairman Senator Bob Menendez calls the lack of communication on immigration policy insulting. Michelle Williams says she got to briefly speak with her husband Eric once he got to Texas. Texas after he was kidnapped in Mexico with three other Americans.
We really didn't speak on a lot of things or what he went through because my son was there.
Two Americans rescued, two others were killed. Voters in Oklahoma have voted down a recreational marijuana plan, according to the Associated Press. They've recovered a second body in a Florida lake near where two small planes collided midair. Texas executing an inmate convicted of stabbing his estranged wife to death and drowning her six-year-old daughter nearly 14 years ago. This is ABC News.
Aha! Leprechauns and Wisconsinites have a lot of things in common. We both look good in green. Chicks dig our accents.
You're cute.
And we all love what's on the other side of the rainbow. Get your pot of gold when you sponsor our hourly weather forecasts on your local Civic Media station. That's 24 ads per day. One ad every hour right before the latest weather forecast. And right now, the prices on these premium sponsorships are slashed up to 50%. But you must act before March 15th to take part. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. I was reminded of Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
I was reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Man, I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
To me, because I am the judge, and you can plainly see. I want a big round table when I get there. I won't sit down to wonder square. I'm gonna lay down the law. They better not budge. I bust some head because I am the judge.
He is the judge.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And for this segment, we're also joined by fellow civic media host of the Todd Alba Show. Todd Alba. What if your name wasn't? You could be like Thompson, right? And be like Mark Thompson and do the Paul Revere show. And it's like, wait, what's your name? Is it Paul Revere or is it Mark Thompson? Todd Alba, how are you doing this morning?
Well, the appropriate name, if it wasn't the Todd Alba show, would be the Gomer Pyle show with Todd Alba.
Exactly.
Just to join you two, I mean, how could I not be good? This is the highlight of my day.
It's been, you've jumped on once between the first time we had you on. Before you basically even started your show last fall.
Right. We met on air.
And then I think you've jumped on once since then. But, you know, trying to do a little crossover for everyone's show. You're on 8 to 11 before us on WRCE, WXCO. What else am I missing? Amory.
W-L-A-K. And beautiful
And so I listen to you. I switch between you and Earl in the morning in between getting ready for the show. So check out Todd's show if you if you're on the Civic Media app between 8 and 11. But I texted you last. Well, I'll set this up. So Jane and I, you know, we text at night after the show as news comes out post 2 p.m., things that we could potentially, as you do, as things we could potentially talk about tomorrow, kind of always wondering what's the lead story going to be to do the ticked off tee off. And I had missed it, but basically, I think tweets had been starting to go around because I hadn't heard it before yesterday, but that Judge Janet Protasiewicz, liberal candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, has basically only agreed and will only agree to one debate prior to April 4th. Whereas Dan Kelly's campaign has said he's ready for any and all forums and debates. And Jane, what did you think?
Well, I texted her last night, Todd, and I said, this is a mistake. I think it's a mistake.
She said it's a bad look. And
now, see, look, this is totally unfair because I love Jane to death, and you're putting me at odds. like it's some sort of a, I mean, I'm already odd. I was on Luke Mather's show, Dueling Tangents, yesterday, filling in for Brian Kelly, and he asked, how do we determine which stations I'm on and which stations Earl is on? And I said, it's simple. We arm wrestle for it. And Earl has beat me out time and time again on getting Green Bay and us. And now you're putting me, you know, at odds with the wonderful Jane Matinere, which, you know, is tough.
It's not odds. It's just a difference of opinion.
Exactly. And I would love to know, because I think that they're going to use this to run ads saying she's running away because she's afraid to defend her own record and blah, blah, blah. And the smears that that they're, I just think this just gives them an opening to do that kind of stuff. And that's why I think it's an error.
I believe that you're correct in saying, as far as for good civics, like for good government, for open government, yes, it's not great because ideally you want candidates to have as many debates so people, the voters, can understand who they're voting for. Just as somebody who, you know, was on the other side of the aisle for a long time in Republican politics and ran a lot of campaigns over the years, I think she's doing the exact right thing from a political standpoint because clearly, well, I shouldn't say clearly, but based on the information I have, she is up in the polling. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that last week, the Terrence Group, a Republican Party polling firm, which I have used in the past, incidentally, they're actually very good. But my sister got the poll, and she's a very savvy poll taker. And so she reported all this to me. They were doing push polling. And for those that might not know, it's when they say, if you knew that Judge Janet did such and such and such and such, would you still be likely to vote for her? So they're trying to influence and finding out what messaging works. So they were, and now WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, announced this morning they're putting over $1 million into the race for Dan Kelly. So they're in the field. They know these things. So my opinion is that if Judge Janet agrees to more debates, she's already ahead of the polling. There's only so much you can say as a judge. It's not like a legislative race where you can get it deep into issues. You know, already Judge Janet's been attacked by the Kelly side for going too far in their opinion of saying that the truth, that the maps, the gerrymandered maps are rigged. It's the truth. She's come out and said, hey, I believe in supporting women's health, which essentially means that she would probably, if the case came before her, depending upon how it was argued, could very well vote to overturn the archaic abortion laws in the state that don't even allow women to get abortions in cases of rape or incest right now. So they're already attacking her on that. I'm not sure what she has to gain by subjecting herself because Kelly has nothing, right? So he's just going to spend an hour harping on these things, trying to paint her as, you know, a radical abortion person. Basically, they're going to try to paint Judge Shannon as, hey, we got a setup tent in the Lambeau Field parking lot, have an abortion before you go into the Packers game. I mean, really? I mean, that's the kind of crap they're going to put out there, all right? And then they're going to paint her as, she let somebody off the hook on a sexual assault charge. You know, Judge Janet is going to endanger all your children with sexual perverts on the street. This is the kind of stuff they're going to do, you guys. And then they're going to say, if you elect Judge Janet, she's going to vote to take away all your guns, because they were also testing the polling on that. So I don't know if you're Judge Janet or her campaign, which all that stuff I just said is a bunch of crap. It's not true. but they're going to put millions of dollars out there. And if you stand before Kelly for an hour, he's going to harp on this stuff for an hour because they got nothing.
But doesn't that give the other side then the opportunity to do the same thing and bring up all of the things that he's blogged about in the past, which now have miraculously disappeared from the web? It's like, whoosh, where did that go?
I was going to say, I was like, well, it's not that he has nothing. He clearly has a 5-star SAT vocabulary for sexual libertinism.
I mean, isn't that what campaigns do, though, Todd? You sit down and it's like, what's the worst stuff and how can we craft this to decimate our opponent? That's what it's about.
I think for me, because I would say my instinctual reaction was similar to Jane's, because similar to what you said, Todd, in a perfect world, because this happened in the fall, right? Nationally, all of the major campaigns, most of them only had one or two debates. Senate campaign here, 2 debates. Governor's campaign, 1 debate. And then same thing. I mean, Hobbs never debated against who's the crazy lady from Arizona?
Carrie Lake.
Thank you. See, far in my back of my memory at this point.
Boing.
So, like, it's a trend in general that there's less debates, which I do think is a bad thing because naturally a debate stage is an opportunity to have the candidates have less control, right? They have less control over what happens. And at the same time, we complain about, oh, there's not enough debates, there's only one debate, blah, blah, blah. And then the debate actually happens. And the next day, all of us who work in political punditry get on air and was like, well, what did we learn? Nothing. Nothing, right? We like, what did they say? They stuck to message. They didn't answer the actual questions. Both sides claim they won. And who cares? And so that's my point, I think, looking at this is like, yes, it's a talking point for the Kelly campaign. And of course, on Twitter right now, it's flooded with, well, they're just going to cheat anyways. They have all the voters and all the votes lined up and they're going to dump them at midnight and blah, blah, blah. But as far as in real civics, in real knowledge that could be gained from them debating more than once, I'm not convinced anymore that that actually does anything.
But you brought those good points of the Arizona race, and those are legislative, right? Either it's for state, Senate, or Congress, or governor. Those are debates where you can get into and ask candidates specific, you know, policy questions. What would you introduce? How would you vote? Remember, in a judicial race, traditionally, candidates for Supreme Court, and we're one of the few states in America that elects our state Supreme Court instead of the governor appointing and confirmed by the Senate. So judicial candidates have traditionally been reticent to get very far. Usually you ask them a question about abortion, they would say, well, I can't go into that because I don't want to, not perjure, but endanger myself if this case comes before me, so I really can't answer. That's what a lot of support.
Or they just say, I believe in precedent. Isn't that what all three Trump appointees said?
Right. I would apply the law fairly. I would not be an activist judge. I mean, you literally gain nothing. Mm-hmm. And I take my hat off to Judge Janet because, I mean, hey, I don't mean to say that sound this as a negative comment, but Judge Janet has kind of taken a page out of the Trump playbook. Trump changed everything in politics in America. You threw out the rules. So I think to a degree, Judge Janet's like, I'm not just going to be a wishy-washy candidate and say I don't have an opinion. She actually was brave enough to tell the truth and let voters know where she kind of stood on some of these positions. That is not something that is usually done in a Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. So she's already gone further than most judicial candidates for Supreme Court in Wisconsin. I don't think her team or her wants to endanger herself by getting up in front and having to go down this road. And also, she's up in the polls, probably by all numbers. She's already ahead. 4 weeks out, if you're running a race and you're already ahead, it's about maintaining that lead and not exposing yourself or your candidate to make those numbers go bad.
We're talking.
I think it's a political move.
No, but that's the thing. It's a political move. We're talking to Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show, and we're debating whether debates are worth having when it comes to, I guess, really any election, but more specifically judicial elections, because it is a unique situation where, and we've talked about this before, we're one of what, 13 states that elects our Supreme Court justices, and most other places, it's appointments. there's probably an argument on both sides of why one's a good thing and one's a bad thing. But I still maintain that most of us who are not, who don't live in the legal world, it's hard for us to have the knowledge base to understand what makes a good judge. Like, I've never been in front of a judge, if I'm being totally honest, like, because I've never been arrested. Put that on my tombstone.
She's never been caught.
Fair.
I once went before a judge in small claims court on a speeding ticket in college, and he agreed that it was a speed trap, and then he charged me the fees for the court fees. I ended up paying more than the ticket was actually going to be. So I was not successful in front of a judge.
But you know what I mean? Because I think that goes back to what you were saying as far as what Judge Janet is doing, which is, as far as politics go, is smart. She is appealing to the issues that people are fired up about right now in Wisconsin. One is abortion, one being fair maps for the people. Because the people who understand fair maps really care about fair maps.
And they get it.
And myself being one of them.
Right.
And so to appeal on those issues is much more like a political, like legislative campaign than a judicial one. And instead, I was just reading, I think this was in Wisconsin State Journal this morning, as far as the gamble Dan Kelly is playing with his campaign, and keeps talking about how he's a constitutional conservative. And for most people, it's like, what does that mean? Like,
only to his base, right?
Sure. But even like, is it the Wisconsin Constitution, the U.S. Constitution? Like, I don't know. I know some things. What I know about the Wisconsin Constitution is that we don't have binding referendums. Like, you know what I mean?
For a Republican side, usually what that is lingo for means that, oh, I'm going to apply the law. I'm not going to be an activist judge. I'm not going to take over the legislative role. I'll be a conservative constitutionalist. I'll apply the law the way it's written until it doesn't agree with what they actually stand for.
But
isn't
that what Brian Hagedorn is? And then they were so upset with him when he didn't rule in their favor?
Exactly. You got 100% right, Kristen. He was a constitutional conservative, and then all of a sudden he actually applied the law like he said he was going to do and said, no, Donald Trump lost the election, and now they're up in arms. They want to recall it.
Dan Kelly can't trust Brian Hagedorn. I won't endorse Jennifer Toro.
And by the way, Jane is 100% right. Jane, you're right. They're going to attack, you know, Judge Janet for not having more debates. I agree with that. I just think they've calculated and said that message doesn't have the same traction as exposure to issues that they don't want to get into. I think that's just what it comes down to.
All right.
And I'm sorry,
Jane. Are you convinced?
We can agree to disagree.
There you go.
I do understand Todd's point, though. I really do. I just hope that we don't get comfy with that lead in the polls. That makes me twitchy.
I agree 100%. Yeah. I think that they should have done more inoculation ads for Judge Janet earlier. So yeah. I don't know.
28 days away, 4 weeks from today, April 4th. Go vote. Todd Alba, thank you for joining us.
You guys are fantastic.
You're fantastic. We'll talk to you later. All right. When we come back, some news Wisconsin can be proud of. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You vote your way and I vote mine. Case is a tie and the money gets spent. Vote for Pigmy, not for President. I am the judge. I am the judge. Everybody knows that I am the judge. I am the judge. I am the judge.
As Goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough too when it's such a razor thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not there. But you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $150 a week, this sponsorship is designed to drive traffic to your website.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to Ask Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And that was a rap song about crochet.
It was. You can find anything you're looking for.
Just the creative aptitude of the internet and those who contribute to it is unmatched.
It's a constant joy.
It's unmatched. You said we had some feedback?
We did. We were talking about Judge Janet Protasiewicz's decision not to engage in the more than one debate with Dan Kelly. And I think that's a mistake. Our friend Todd Alba thinks it's wise. Texter from the 608 says, I think Janet is being too cute by only doing one debate. It feels like coasting, like what Neubauer did versus Hagedorn. Janet has the edge on the issues, so get out there and show the good things that will happen if she gets elected, i.e. the end of the abortion ban, unrigging the maps, and point out Kelly will allow a lot of Wisconsinites to get screwed over.
And the one thing I read is just the intense schedule. Because this is a short... From primary to general, it's 6 weeks. It was 6 weeks. We're 4 weeks as of today.
Yep.
And the amount of events you're trying to do versus... I mean, ultimately, as a campaign, it comes down to a cost-benefit analysis with all of this stuff, I imagine, as far as what...
What's worth it.
What's worth it. Yeah. What's worth doing where you think you're going to get to meet more people, get your message out better. And I agree with you that I think it's, I don't know. Because it's also like, do debates ever change anyone's mind?
Well, and that's a good point. Texter from the 414 brings up, having a debate is good news and is all that's needed. I think the only people that follow debates today are political junkies. Because real hardworking people have a life to live and don't have much time for debates. The days of debates having so much importance, unfortunately, went the way of the daily printed newspaper.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
It's a great point. And I feel like even think about the time slot. So the one debate that they are doing is at 12:45 in the afternoon on a weekday.
Are you
kidding? On March 21st. And then
what?
They're re-airing it at like 4 p.m.
It's not going to be a 7 o'clock?
Even the debates last fall, the two Senate debates between Johnson and Mandela, and then the Michaels versus Evers, they were like 7 p.m. on a Friday?
Yeah.
You know, people, like, at that point, people are at Friday Night Light football, right? Like, people are not...
They're out to dinner. They're getting
they're not
fish
at
right.
home like us. Like, I got to talk about this on Monday, yeah. So let's watch.
A sad, pathetic people.
So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I think... I agree with you as far as you can't stop pushing.
Don't get too comfy.
But I also just feel like we're going to talk about this more tomorrow with Greg. He's just an awful candidate. And I don't mean because I don't, like, politically I don't agree with him. And it's just like the mounting information about, like, the blog stuff and the fact that he worked with Wisconsin Right to Life, and the fact that he worked with the Republican. Like, there's a lot of stuff there. And then we're going to talk about this article tomorrow, but there's an op-ed in Wisconsin State Journal about basically how he's just a bad legal mind.
Oh, that is an unbelievable piece.
And how even other conservative justices, while he was on the Supreme Court, were basically like writing like dissenting opinions, even if they voted, like, even if they ruled in the same way, they wrote a dissenting opinion because they're like, I got to this opinion in a different manner than whatever argument he just tried to make. Like, I need to separate myself from him.
There are some pretty tasty adjectives describing him in that article and his style, which I think will be fun to kick around tomorrow with Greg.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes those articles, we wait for Greg's
take.
Pointed point of view to talk about. So that'll be tomorrow. But for now, I wanted to end the hour on two stories that we can be proud of and on a high note. The first one being, coming out of Keewaskum, Wisconsin.
Very cool.
Speed skater Jordan Stoltz becomes the first male world champion in three events. Not the first American, the first male ever to win three events in speed skating.
The first male in history.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
And I love, obviously all the Wisconsin coverage came out yesterday because proud, you know, we're proud of our Wisconsin native. But the NBC Sports, like Olympic talk write up of this, the headline there was Jordan Stoltz arrives with three golds at speed skating worlds, leaving the Dutch in disbelief. I was like, why specific? I guess maybe it was in the Netherlands, but it was, or maybe the Dutch are like uniquely, usually very good at speed skating.
Well, it's the whole, sure.
But
the whole skating on the canals thing.
So, and he's only 18.
Wow.
He's a baby.
Wow. That's awesome.
But he, so Stoltz already labeled wonderkind. And then this is a Dutch word, I'm guessing, straaljager, which means jet fighter.
Straaljager.
By Dutch reporters. Congratulations, Jordan.
Well done.
That's awesome.
Yes, well done.
And then the other story, I'm a little late to this one.
I love this so much.
But what do you think it takes to be called a crochet prodigy?
And I used to crochet, and I was not a prodigy.
Like, this is a young man, Jonah Larson, has gone viral because of his crocheting, and he's now made his second blanket for Giannis and Mariah for their kids. It's a crocheted little blanket. But he's only 15 years old, and he lives in La Crosse. And Antetokounmpo is his idol. And in 2021, he gave him a blanket for his son, Liam. And then I think 2 weekends ago, with the help of a lot of Twitter followers.
I bet.
And Michael Strahan was also involved.
Really?
But he was able to make sure that Giannis's second son, Maverick, also got a blanket of his own.
That is adorable.
It's so adorable.
And he's like a speed crocheter.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Is that, because to me, is it that it's fast? Or is it speed or accuracy?
Well, at least in my world, crocheting was a lot more forgiving than knitting. Because with knitting, the tightness of the stitches will determine whether or not something is perfectly square or however you want it to be, which is why I always preferred crocheting, which seemed to me to be a little bit more forgiving. Although the baby blankets that I made were always not quite square.
Not quite square?
Square-ish.
But were they warm?
They were warm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
I'm watching this video now of him crocheting, and he is very fast.
Oh yeah, it's incredible.
He's got very dexterous little fingers.
We're gonna put a link to this on our
show notes. And so he's a superstar in the crocheting community.
Yay!
You know, this is so it's just stories like that every once in a while that we just have to remind ourselves that there's still good things happening. It's good things happening in the state, all across the state. And so with that, we wrap up our 11 o'clock newsy hour. When we come back, we will be talking to two people from Clean Wisconsin about the new report that they did published in January about solar versus ethanol. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Heat, power, and water are things people cannot take for granted. The elderly, disabled, the veterans. With record increases in basic costs of living, people are struggling to keep these services on and their bills paid. If you are in danger of losing heat, power, or water, call 1-800-506-5596 or apply online at heat.help. You may not ask for it, but the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help.
When it's raining cats and dogs, your business can rain profits. Sponsoring the weather forecasts on your local Civic Media station will get your phone to ring.
Listeners pay attention to weather forecasts, and they'll pay attention to your message.
Act now, because we're slashing prices up to 50% on these premium sponsorships.
But the deals absolutely end March 15th.
Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather. Sponsoring our forecast.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.